You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
You've mentioned Noel Cuevas here, a guy that we don't talk a lot about at times.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
First of all, if you look at the numbers, they're pretty good, but just the things that he is doing back home in Puerto Rico, because he has to. I mean, how aware are you of what's going on?
I'm not totally aware of everything. You might have a little bit of a head start on me on that, but I do know that he's doing some great things.
As a ball player, what did you see out of him? They made the decision to put him on the 40-man.
Who's they?
Well, the organization, I should say. You are a part of it. So, but on the 40-man, showed some power last year.
Right.
Big kid. What do you see out of him as far as positionally? What do you see out of the back?
Well, I think that, when I saw him last year, he caught my attention, just because I saw the physical tools that he brings to, brings to the field. Can run, he can throw. He's got some bat speed. So the skill set is, pretty strong from what I saw last spring. Then dug a little deeper on the guy, and our player development staff, has really seen at times, big league caliber play in the minor leagues. Now with him, it's a matter of, putting that all together or over a period of time, gaining confidence that he can, really play at the big league level and doing it, whether it's spring training or given the opportunity to do it in a big league environment. But, he's got a skill set that plays. Now it's just a matter of, the real – finer points of, hitting big league pitching and, I think more than anything, just gaining confidence and belief in who he is as a player.
But I haven't asked you yet. I asked a couple of players. What do you think of the spring caps, the one you have on your head right now?
I saw this cap in December, actually. I'm not sure if it was Jill Campbell or somebody in our front office broke these out early. And, I looked at them and I said, hey, okay. I like the representation of the Colorado State flag. I like the color scheme. So it's a good logo.
It's a good logo.
Right?
Yeah. I love it.
How about you?
I think
are you on
it?
Great, yeah.
I think it's the first time I saw you wearing it. I mean, I guess on the field you've been wearing
it. I wear it. Yeah, I wear a hat, yeah.
Okay.
I mix it up. I mean, predominantly I go no hat in this session, but.
Right. At the end of last year, you had, with Alexi, who's not here anymore, obviously, Valleca, Desmond, half the time. Basically, you had, off the bench, a lot of options in the infield defensively. Seems like maybe with Amaris gone, like one fewer possible bench infielder. Is there a mix that you like defensively off of the bench?
Well, when we broke last year, if you remember our bench, right?
Barely.
Well, let's Lexi was the infielder. We had Steven Cardullo, right?
Yeah.
Outfielder. We had the backup catcher. And we had was it Adames?
Yeah.
Adames made the team, yeah. So but as you know, that's that can be forever fluid, but I think with what Pat showed last year, we feel very comfortable with Pat being able to man all infield position, even first base. So he can go across the diamond on the infield. Desi can go targeting first base, potentially in the outfield as well. But, in a pinch, Desi can go to the infield and we can feel good about it, right? And I think, if Tony makes the team, you saw Tony play some infield too. So, anyhow.
Didn't Valleca play outfield like one game last year?
Yeah.
His first
start? One game. His first start was in left field against a left-handed starter.
That's probably not in the cards for him?
Probably not.
Okay.
No. Blanton, I was talking to him this morning.
Well, I think that was a function of, I think we tried to get some right-handed bats against a left-handed starter.
Speaking of which, he hit lefties pretty well last season. Can he get to the point at first base where he could start some games maybe there against a tough lefty?
Yeah, I think so. Again, I mean, it's...
Where does he stand defensively at that
getting position? Better, feeling more comfortable, taking reps pretty much every day, doing some things with Stu and Tony and Giddy as far as drills. And, you know, we gave him a heads up this winter to go get a glove. Again, the versatility that players can possess is a great advantage for him and for us, you know, because they're, you know, during the course of a season, so many things can happen. And you're always, looking to be ready for any scenario that might pop up. So with Pat, he's a versatile player. He's on board. He's mentally strong to handle whatever. He's a cowboy, man. He doesn't care. He'll take it on. Just like playing left field. You know, he didn't scare off.
Buddy, last year's NL West produced three playoff teams, as you're well aware. A lot of teams in the NL West have made some significant off-season moves, too.
Yes.
Including the Padres now with Hosmer. Do you think it's going to be perhaps, if it's possible, even a saltier division this year than last?
I think it's a good division. I think that, you know, you look at what the Dodgers have done over the past 5 years, especially how they've pitched, arguably the best starter in the game, you know, arguably the best closer. It's a pretty good start on the pitching staff. They're a good team, no doubt about it. The Giants' track record the last, 8 years, very strong. Diamondbacks, over 90 wins last year with, good talent. Padres are coming. It's a really good division. And I think you've heard, analysts, baseball executives, scouts, everybody talk about the NL West as being maybe the best division in baseball. And I wouldn't disagree.
Hey, over the last couple of decades, I remember the early parts of, batting practice, pitcher batting practice. Guys used to track a lot more balls. It seems like guys jump in and they're swinging now. Has there been a change in preparation?
Well, I think no. I mean, I think you used to see more. This year is different because there's a shorter window of, day one to the first game. There's only 4 days instead of the normal six or seven. So I think the first couple days, you might have saw guys track pitches a little bit more. I think position players are, trying to get ready for that game on Friday. So they're, they're swinging instead of tracking. Yeah.
Do you find anything problematic of the fact that the first game, Cactus League game, is jumping up pretty quickly this year? I can't remember a time when it came this soon.
No, you're right. This is a different schedule based on the collective bargaining agreement. And we were sort of proactive, especially on the pitching side, to make sure that the pitchers coming into camp were adequately prepared to, jump on the mound and be ready a little bit quicker than in years past. I mean, because the game is coming, in essence, 3, 4, 5 days sooner than normal. Usually have that many more days of practice. So you got to be, you got to be careful of what you see here. Early on, you're not putting guys out there when they're not quite ready. But we forewarned all our players. You might see a couple veteran players maybe not start the first game or two, or three, until they get their legs underneath them. And then again, you might see some veteran players play on Friday. I mean, we're working through that.
They reported such good shape.
Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, players.
In the past, there was too much time between arriving and the first game.
It was put to use all that time. Practicing your fundamentals, practicing a lot of the, your you know, your systems, what you want to do on defense, what you want to do fundamentally, some of the, a lot of the pitching and catching stuff. So, you know, all those days were useful. You know, here we just, we have to condense a few things. But it's not, I wouldn't say problematic, no.